Now, remember we said the first three, now we're going to go to the next three. The transition, because the next three characteristics of the fruit of the Spirit are this: long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. Long-suffering, gentleness, and goodness. And these three can now experience the next, they can experience the next part of our Christian walk. First, we're being transformed, right? Now, guess what? We're going to be conformed to the image of God. We're going to be conformed to a Christian that walks with Christ, that has that glow about them and say, hey, there's something different about you. That's a confirmation. That's a conformed being inside and outside. And I once, when we first started the addiction program, our instructor told us of a story that a preacher was up there preaching one time, right? And he had his notes on it, and he was preaching. And this new addict came in. She just got saved, and she was all excited. She was watching him preach and everything. She was really excited. And then after the service, she went to him, and she's like, preacher, I know God was all over you. The Holy Spirit was working mightily in you. He said, how do you know that? And she said this. She said, there was just a glow all over you. And he said, oh, that was my iPad. But that's the kind of glow we should have, though. We should have a glow of the Holy Spirit coming through us like that, that we should make a difference in somebody's life. And not to brag on myself, but the Holy Spirit and God at work, I come across people all the time that say, how do you have so much joy? Why are you so happy? And I can tell them. I have a conversation now. They've asked me something that I can conversate with. All right, so today, God offers the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. Turn it on. There we go. God offers the fruit of the Spirit, long-suffering. So that's your first fill in the blank. Last week, I know that we didn't have this, and if I was going fast for you, I apologize. And sometimes we can't get the answers as fast as I go. But there it is for you, long-suffering. So we have to be honest with ourselves this morning. First of all, we're in church, and another reason, because we're God's children, right? But I think you would agree, if you're like me, that long-suffering might be one of the hardest characteristics to allow the Holy Spirit to produce in our lives. I want to say to do ourselves, or to be long-suffering for others ourselves, but that wouldn't be right, would it? Because that would be working in our own power. The power of the Holy Spirit working in us can produce long-suffering. But as a teacher, and maybe even pastors in here, as you got ready for a sermon, you might have experienced, as you're studying, God tested you out through the week, didn't he? He tested me out this week of long-suffering, I tell you. He put a good challenge to my heart this week of long-suffering for others. And it always popped up. You know, when you're studying God's Word, things will pop up like that. And so when I come across somebody, and you'll see it today as we go through, I'm like, I just want to argue with these people. I just want to make myself right. That's not long-suffering, is it? And so we'll see that. But if you're honest, you would have that same feeling. You'd go through it the same way. And why should we have the long-suffering? Why should we be long-suffering? Because it should be on our minds all the time. It should be on our minds when we come across people that need that. Everywhere we go, the Bible's clear. It says this. It says if you will either walk in the Spirit or you're going to walk after the flesh. We saw that in the beginning of our study. You're either going to take repeated steps after the Spirit, or you're going to take repeated steps after the lust of your flesh, after your flesh. Which one are you going to choose? Every morning you wake up, you have a choice. You can choose, I'm going to start my day out. And this doesn't always go well, does it? Start my day, I'm going to pray, I'm going to get in the Word, and I'm going to be ready to walk in the Spirit today, and nobody's going to stop me. And then you start going to work, and somebody cuts you off. Whoop, they just stopped you, didn't they? Because the knee-jerk reaction is to start getting all upset with them, right? Usually it is. But if you're walking in the Spirit, maybe it's different. Maybe you'll say, I know God's on my side. He had that purpose for a reason. That person probably's got to get somewhere faster than I do. Maybe he didn't see me or something, right? So that's walking in the Spirit. But we all get distracted and things happen like that. And guess what? We can go back to God. You know, you don't have to close your eyes when you're praying all the time, right? And so when you're driving, you could be praying and say, God, give me a clean heart again. I want to get going where I'm going. Get me back on track, you know, and he can do that for you. So we have a choice. Now, I know you don't interact a lot, but let's try this one. Does anyone get give me an example in your life experience of how you submitted to one of the last three fruits of the Spirit that we've studied? Maybe you want like a little testimony or something? I know we don't have a lot of time, but something of love, joy, or peace that you've experienced since we've been studying? Patty? Amen. God's in control, isn't he? She said when she had the second shot, she had the peace of God that he would get her through that. Amen. Anybody else? Another fruit of the Spirit that God used? My beautiful wife, Melanie. Amen. Amen. It gave me peace too. Amen. And I know Pastor raised his eyes a little bit. We didn't tell anybody because we weren't sure until she went and had the mammogram. But that's just a better testimony right there that we had peace in God. God was in control. And, you know, if everybody knows about it, let's say you ask somebody for a financial thing, right? And you got five people you ask for a financial blessing. Because you had financial troubles. That might be met not by a blessing from somebody, but somebody feeling sorry for you and met that blessing. But if you didn't tell anybody, and then God meets that blessing, like he did in our life with seven children, people would just walk up with fruit and stuff at our door with nobody knowing that we had troubles. They knew we had seven kids. That might have been it too. No, but that was God's blessings. And we can give God credit for that. And so, but we would have asked for prayer if we knew more, but you know. So perfect. We have peace in those kind of things. Why? You know, if we were separated from God, we couldn't have that kind of peace. There's no way. So praise the Lord. All right, we have, let's get into the lesson. Let's see what we got for today. The beautiful thing about this is if we don't have to work hard at producing these things, these characteristics, the Holy Spirit will give you long suffering. We don't have to work hard at this. This isn't something that, man, I really worked hard this week to make sure I loved people and I had joy and I had the peace of God and now I can have long suffering. No, we don't work like that. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to do that for us. That's his production, not ours. And so the definition of long suffering would be an enduring temperament that expresses itself in patience with the shortcomings of others. That might be different than what you thought of today. But that's a really good definition. And some of the words are bigger, something that we don't use much anymore. So what I want to do, and I think it's in your handout, I want to do a word study real quick on this definition. And our instructor, the founder of the program, Reformed Unanimous, always told us, dissect and define, dissect and define. So let's dissect and define this real quick. So the first one would be enduring. We don't use enduring that much anymore, except for King James when we read in our King James Bible, which is awesome. I love it. But enduring is to continue without perishing or to last long, even to permanence. Everlasting. We can continue without perishing. We can endure because of the Holy Spirit in us. Temperament. Temperament would be a person's makeup, the passions, attitudes, and other elements that combine to produce a level of irritability, whether it be high or low. So if you have a high irritability for somebody or a low irritability, we can it's a makeup there of our passions, attitudes, and other elements. So whether our irritability be high or low, we can have that. We can have temperament, and that's what temperament is. And then patience. Everybody says don't pray for patience, right? But patience is a calm and temper. How many have tempers in here? I do. I know you don't want to admit it. I do. But patience is calm and temper. My temper can be calm because of patience, and that's not a work of myself at all. So, if we put all that together, this definition now is this. Long-suffering is made up of a combination of attitudes that expresses itself in long-lasting calmness. That sounds awesome, doesn't it? That sounds like what I need. Every day of my life, I need that right there. I need all of that for long-suffering. So we see that. So if we were to live by this definition, then we should have a spirit of calmness toward people that have shortcomings. We should have a calmness toward people that have shortcomings. And I just remembered, I want to thank everybody that's watching online for our Sunday school class as well. It is, I can't express how great it is to have online like that, especially on Wednesday night when I don't make it. But I believe people fall upon online streaming and they get saved from that, you know? And there's like, I need hope today. Click, click, click. And Independent Baptist Church pops up. We're preaching the gospel. And they get saved. Praise the Lord. We'll see that in heaven one day. So, who's the shortcomings? Those people that just don't measure up to your expectations or standards. Those are shortcomings. Did you hear what I said? Those people that don't measure up to your expectations or your standards. Let me give you some examples. The homeless. They don't measure up to my expectations because I'm in a home and I'm better than them because, I mean, they could get a job and get what I have. That's a natural thought. That's a fleshly thought. How about our employees? If you're an owner of a company or an employee, a manager, your employees, well, they're not doing the job like I would have it done. So they're not meeting my expectation. They're a shortcoming. And so what do? We don't suffer long for them. We get worked up over that. Let's go more personal. Church members or Christians. Church members or Christians. We can get frustrated with people in our own church, in our own community, in our own family of Christians, can't we? We can get frustrated with other Christians that are maybe on Facebook and you're disagreeing what they're thinking and what they believe and, you know, and other beliefs. And I told you before about when we first started going to church and Pastor was talking about the different colors of carpet and people argue about what color the pew should be and things like that. That's you know, but it could be anything like that. Remember what we said about the fruits working together to be singular? Remember we said that it says it's singular, it's the fruit of the Spirit, not fruits of the Spirit. Because the Bible labels them as such, let's look at them together as we've seen so far. When we're walking in the Spirit, we love people without a thought of return. We experience an absolute rejoicing in all circumstances. This joy leads to freedom from worry in our mind, body, and spirit. Therefore, since we have all that, therefore, when responding to others' shortcomings, quote unquote, I would think it would naturally yield a great willingness on their part to meet my objectives for them. Did that make any sense? I would expect them, since we've done all of that, we've loved them, we've showed joy to them and in their circumstances, we've had peace with them, and now it comes the long suffering. I would expect them to respond in a good way, right? Wouldn't you that their response should be great now, right? But what if it isn't? How much thought do you give towards spiritual warfare? Let's think about spiritual warfare. What do you think the devil wants to do? The reality is most Christians don't think about warfare, spiritual warfare, and you should. It's real, and the devil wants nothing more than to see God's children fail in the Christian life. You get saved. He ain't got that. That wasn't a good English word. He doesn't got that. But guess what he does have? He has the ability to keep you from serving Christ. He has the ability for me teaching today. I could have told Pastor, no, I don't want to teach. No, I just want to come to church, and I just want to be part of your church. And that could have been the devil saying, I got you. You're not going to teach now. You're not going to share God's word. You know? So we can't get you to fail in submitting to the fruit of the Spirit. He will use the lost to try and get us to react differently when it comes to long-suffering. So you pour out all this, love, joy, peace. Now you're at long-suffering. You're suffering long for somebody, right? Because that's what long-suffering is suffering long for somebody. And they react, in a way that doesn't meet your expectation. And guess what? That's the devil trying to get you. That's the lost trying to say, what kind of Christian are you? You can't even suffer long for me. They're not going to say long suffering, but they're going to say, you know, you can't even give to me more and more, and you react different. The more godly I respond to someone, naturally I want them to respond more godly to me. I mean, think about this. If I'm responding under the Holy Spirit's leading and helping someone out, at least they can respond in a godly fashion. That's what my thinking is, but I know if I study God's word, that's not how it always works. Look at Paul. Paul was doing great things for God, and look what he had to go through for God. And so, Ken, it's all updates. All right. See, the devil doesn't want me to show you this. let me give you a little illustration of the pastor that founded Reformers Unanimous, this addiction program. Because they started a men's home up there in Rockwood, Illinois. His name's Pastor Kingsbury up there. So he gave the story, a testimony, of when they first started the men's home, he would have the men come over his house and work, you know, to keep them occupied, keep their minds occupied, and maybe help pay for, you know, just work for being housed and stuff, you know. And so they would come over and do some work for him, and then they'd go back to the home. Well, he started seeing things missing in his home. And so he would question all of them and stuff. And, of course, everybody said, no, we don't know what happened and stuff. But he found one man. He caught one man stealing. And he long-suffered. He said, you know, that's wrong. And, you know, he gave him reprimand and everything. And then, you know what he did, though? He said, he gave him a week or so or whatever. And he said, come back over. I want you to do some more work for me. So he came over and did some more work. Everything was fine. And then the guy said, can I borrow your car? And because I need to go somewhere. I think it was a court hearing or something. And can I borrow your car to do that, Pastor? And Pastor, of course, he's long-suffering, right? And he loved, joy, peace is all there. And he said, sure, borrow my car. He took his car and never came back. He stole his car. They found his car, found the guy. The guy was in jail. Pastor said, no, I want him back in the house, the men's home. Brought him back to the men's home, got his car fixed back up. And months went by, and Pastor put him back to work, you know, and things. And, you know, he had to reprimand a little bit. But the guy said again, can I borrow your car? Pastor kind of hesitated for a minute, and he said, yeah, of course you can borrow my car, thinking he learned his lesson. He went, did his thing, and never came back again, stole his car again. He did this three times. He stole Pastor's car three times. And Pastor had to cut it off. That's long-suffering. You know what my response would be? You stole my car the first time. You ain't getting it the second time. But that's long-suffering. And that's what God wants. God wants us to long-suffer. Why this happened? Because the devil knows the best Christian is the one that is willing to lift up Christ. When Jesus is lifted up, the Bible says this, he draws all men unto him. So we're on John 12:32, that is. When we lift up Christ, all men are drawn unto him. That's what we're to do. We're to lift up Christ. So the next time you respond in Christ under the influence of the Holy Spirit, you will bring great glory to God. You will make God look good. You know, I love Sunday nights when we give testimonies in here. You know, because your testimonies are making God look good. That's not making pastor look good or the church look good or the people that you're talking about or even yourself. It's making God look good because he did it and you're giving him the credit. And so it makes God look good. The devil's goal, let's go to the next one. The devil's goal is to keep the gospel hidden from the lost. That's the whole goal of the devil. What's God's goal? that everybody might hear of God, of Jesus, right? Let me read you 2 Corinthians 4, verse 3 through 10. But if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them that are lost, in whom the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. Verse 5, for if we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servant for Jesus' sake. For God, who commanded the light to shine out of darkness, hath shined in our hearts to give the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. Verse 8, we are troubled on every side, yet not distressed. We are perplexed, but not in despair. Persecuted, we talked about that last week, but not forsaken. Cast down, but not destroyed. And verse 10, always bearing about in the body of life, on the body, the dying of the Lord Jesus, that the life also of Jesus might be made manifest, might be made evident in our body. Isn't that beautiful? It's a beautiful scripture to keep in our minds, that the gospel can go forth if we'll be used that way. He wants us to be used that way. He wants us to do the Great Commission. Last week, if you remember, last week in the early service, Brother Smith, and I shared this even yesterday in my devotion on a call, that this social distancing thing, it's not good for a Christian to be social distanced, because our command from God, from the Lord, is to do the Great Commission. We can't do the Great Commission if we're social distanced. If we're not talking to people and we're isolating and everything, we're not getting the message out. That is why we're here on the earth after salvation, to share the gospel with every soul. If this isn't true, then as soon as we got saved, God would have taken us home to heaven. He said, you're saved, boom, you're going to heaven, you're going home. No, he needs us here to reach the lost. We're his ambassadors. This is God's war, and we have signed up to be his soldiers. And guess what? I read the end of the book, and the war ends with us in Christ, the winners. We're the winners. If you're in Christ today, if you got saved, you're the winner of this war. Lastly, let's see this. God's long-suffering toward us. Because we can look at all this other long-suffering, but God's long-suffering toward us. God's long-suffering toward us is Romans 2, verse 3 and 4, and we got it on the screen. Let's read it here. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? That's a question there. Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering? Not knowing the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? That's a question to you and I. Because the Bible's written to us, isn't it? That's the God's love letter to us. And he's asking questions there to us. And so God suffered long for me. I can speak for me. I can't speak for you. But God suffered long for me for 35 years. He suffered long on that cross. He died for me. And do you know God knows when you're coming to him? And he watches everything you do before you got saved. And I would believe he knows when he's come, when we're coming to him, because he knows all, right? But he suffered 35 years until I said, all right, God, I give it all to you. I surrender my life to you. I can't do it anymore. I can't play church anymore. I can't just act like a Christian anymore. I surrender all to you. He suffered that long for me, 35 years. That's way too long, by the way, to suffer for a person. Why? Because I wanted to live up my life. I wanted to do what I wanted to do. Jesus suffered long through the entire trial against him on the way to the cross and unto death for you and I. And we could go into that trial, but we don't have time. But if you've read the gospel, you know what Jesus went through. I mean, the plucking of the beard, the being spit on, the cattails, the everything. all the way to the cross and then being nailed to the cross and dying for our sins. That's how much he suffered for us. What did the Bible say? What did he say to these people that were doing all this to him? What did the Bible say to about it? And pretty much nothing. And then on the cross, he says, forgive them, for not they don't know what they do. Wow. Well, the Bible says he's in us. The Holy Spirit's in us. God is in us. So why can't we suffer like this? Because we try to do it in our own flesh. So, we often prefer the work of the flesh. I don't like this one. Quick-tempered. We're quick-tempered. Somebody hits us the wrong way, we get quick-tempered, don't we? That's our, we call that a knee-jerk reaction, right? What's the definition? Quick-tempered is this: irritability that negatively excites our passions. That's true, it does. It does. Irritability that negatively excites our passions. Proverbs 19:11 says, the destruction of a man deferreth his anger, and it is his glory to pass over a transgression. It's his glory to pass over a transgression. Let's finish up now. I don't want to speak a lot about quick-tempered. I think you already know. It's a kind of a natural thing, right? So quick-tempered is that. But let's look at a couple of scriptures to end this with some scripture, some good things, right? 2 Peter 3:9 says this: the Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. All should come to repentance. He's long-suffering. He's still long-suffering. In this world that is like this today, you would think Jesus is coming now because this world is a mess. It's got to be worse than Sodom and Gomorrah. It's got to be worse than Noah's days. But he's still long-suffering for us. And this one here, Ephesians 4:3. With all lowliness and meekness, with what? Long-suffering. Forbearing one another in love. You see, you can't have long-suffering if you don't have love, joy, and peace. You cannot do it. You got to love, and you got to have that joy, and you got to have peace with people to long-suffer for them. Let's pray. Most gracious Heavenly Father, it's been a great, great day. Lord, it's been a day that glorifies you. The scripture have glorified you. Lord, we see this long suffering and it's not easy. You didn't say it was going to be easy. You said, I'm going to send a comforter. You said you're going to send the Holy Spirit, not to dwell upon us, but to dwell in us. That we can do it if we'll allow you to do it through us. If we'll submit ourselves to the Holy Spirit daily, minute by minute, that you may work through us. Lord, I pray today, if there's somebody here or somebody online that doesn't know you as personal Savior, Father, that's the most important step. Before they can even have any of these fruits of the Spirit, they must have you as their Savior. May they trust you this hour as your Savior. May they put their faith and trust in you, admit that they're a sinner, they're lost without you, they have no hope that you are the Savior, and they trust you today. That's all they have to do. It's a free gift. And they can know that they're a born-again believer in you. I pray that somebody's prayed that prayer today and surrendered their life to you like I did just less than 20 years ago. Surrendered my life to you and grown and learned from you, Father. I pray that we can do that. There's a Christian here today that's struggling with these things, Father. I pray that they'll learn from you and the Holy Spirit will be evident in their life, will be awakened and not grieved and be used by you. We pray this all. Father, in Jesus' precious name, may you bless the service ahead of us. Amen.